Revenge is a dish best served gold on episode number 29 of the Retro Rewind podcast.
What movie are we doing? I don't remember that.
Retro Rewind podcast initialized. Mission identified. The Mask of Zorro. 1998. Co-hosts online. Auditory analysis online. All systems nominal.
Welcome to the Retro Rewind podcast, where we take another look at movies and video games from 15 or more years ago so that we can tell you whether they're still worth revisiting today. You can find the show notes for this episode at retrorewindpodcast.com/RRP29. There you could leave us a comment on the episode. You can vote in our poll on whether you thought The Mask of Zorro was a classic or second class. And you can find links to subscribe to the podcast in iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and more. Thank you for joining us. And if you're new to the show and you're coming from Retro Days, so glad you're here with us. Hope you enjoy the show. And hit subscribe because we love doing the show. And hopefully you will love listening. My name is Francisco Ruiz. I am a dad, a designer, and a dashing jeweler. Ching, 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 ching.
All right.
And I thought The Mask of Zorro was, I predicted The Mask of Zorro was going to be a classic. Before I watched it, exactly. That's why it's a prediction. Joined, as always.
I thought you meant before listening in the theater.
By my good friend and co-host and master interrupter, Paul yes. Powers.
Hello.
Hello, Paul. So my question...
Go ahead.
My question for you this time, though you probably saw this one coming, is who do you think would win in their own duel? The Antonio Banderas version of Zorro or Wesley from The Princess Bride?
Oh, I did not see this coming. I thought you were going to ask Zorro or Puss in Boots.
Oh, that would have been good too.
I would say Zorro.
Okay. Very good.
My prediction from before watching this movie recently, I thought this movie would be a classic.
Very cool. And we are joined, not for the first time, though it's the first time she's here on her own. Our guest hosting is Sharon, the Harp Star Powers. Welcome, Sharon.
Hello, thank you.
So glad you're here today. I have a couple questions for you. First, what do you do? Because I don't think I've ever asked since you've been on the show before. And second, what is your favorite movie genre?
Well, right now what I do is I do the eight to five work for the man till I can get out of debt.
Nice.
And then become an actual harp star.
Oh, cool.
I'm working on building my life around becoming a harp therapist.
That's cool. Wow.
It's the life goal. So
very nice.
But right now it's not so glamorous at all. So, favorite movie genre. I guess it's probably gotta be, period drama.
Okay.
Or drama period.
Gosh,
that's different. Okay.
Yeah, that with a close second by fantasy.
Okay. Yeah. Very nice.
And my prediction was that it would be a classic because I absolutely loved watching it when I was younger.
Very awesome. So let's see if our predictions pan out. Paul, will you please plot our course for today?
Sure, why not? Alice, go that way. Oh, sorry. I need a little more instruction.
That'd be
all
helpful.
Right, Alice, let's go have our roundtable discussion of whether we think it's a classic or second class. And then let's swing over to the new tube segment and then wrap it up with feedback, contact info, and some show announcements. How about that?
That sounds good, Alice. So
all right.
Start that course, and whenever you...
Alert, alert, target located. Spoilers incoming. Engaging retro rewind reactor.
How can I do what is needed when all I feel is hate?
You hide it with this.
of TriStar Pictures and Amblin Entertainment.
Be careful, senorita. There are dangers made about.
Comes an epic adventure of honor reclaimed and a legend reborn.
It's only one man.
It isn't just one man, damn it. Zorro.
No bad.
The Mask of Zorro.
No bad at all.
Rated PG-13.
Awesome. So The Mask of Zorro was released in theaters on July 17th in the year 1998. It's rated PG-13, as you just heard from that little clip. And it ran 136 minutes. Oh, the director for this movie. When they were looking for a director, they were going to revamping the series of Zorro in their head. So they wanted to do a director who had experience in that. So they went and they sought the director of the James Bond film, GoldenEye.
I was wondering what else he had directed. Okay.
Yeah. And so she did a successful job of revamping the James Bond with Pierce Brosnan. They hired him to direct this.
Very good. So what was his name?
His name, it was Martin Campbell.
Okay.
And the movie goes on to star Antonio Banderas and Anthony Hopkins, Catherine Zeta-Jones, and a bunch of others. So the two people who are headlining this are both named Tony, but only one of them was...
Interesting. I didn't think about that.
There, but only one of them was is a Latino. So, can you figure out which one? Anyway. The box office budget was about $65 million. And it went on to gross about 250 worldwide.
Ooh. Very nice.
Yes.
Good job, Zorro.
Yeah, it was number one the first week, but the second week it wasn't number one because Saving Private Ryan and There's Something About Mary came out the next week. So it could have made more.
But that's neither here nor there. Well, thank you, Paul, for those technicals. Now let's see how our memories form into a synopsis for this movie. So what we remember about Mask of Zorro is Anthony Hopkins is the original retired Zorro who is in a gentleman's clothes telling his baby daughter a bedtime story. But then he gets defeated by an evil, prissy-looking baron who takes away his daughter and kills his wife. Original Zorro begrudgingly trains Antonio Banderas to be Zorro Beyond. after which... this new Zorro duels Catherine Zeta-Jones, the love interest, cutting away most of her clothes. Old and new Zorro defeats the old Baron and rescues Catherine Zeta-Jones, who turns out to be original Zorro's daughter. Then they all save the day and live happily ever after, and new Zorro and Catherine Zeta-Jones have a baby. Now, is that not convoluted? Sometimes memories...
pretty accurate.
Well, yeah, but unfortunately there are some things that were a little weird. In fact, I'd say they were incepted.
Who's planting these false memories?
Well, the same people that did it in the movie. So Leonardo DiCaprio. Yeah, of course. Yeah. Who else would it be?
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Exactly. So, similar to how some of the characters in this movie had babies, what beloved moments were birthed this time when you guys watched the movie? Let's start with Sharon.
What's a stretch?
Don't diss my segue, Paul. Sharon.
I got to say, something I really loved was at the beginning and the end when they mirrored it, the acting Zorro was old and new Zorro enacting out a bedtime story to the baby. And it was, you know, basically with him as the hero, of course. And then how, you know, his wife is looking on, and it was just a sweet family moment. And I don't know, bedtime stories are one of my favorite things in the world. So
okay.
I enjoyed that a lot.
Very nice.
That's interesting. Do you know why?
Why?
Because the original ending of that film didn't have that last scene in it. It just ended after the mine exploded, and then as that scene where they're walking away, it's Zorro and Catherine Zeta-Jones and like the group of people behind them. Mm-hmm. They ran into the somebody of Santa Ana and his horsemen, and it kind of faded there. But when testing it, the audiences loved the movie but hated that ending.
Oh, interesting.
And it wasn't till they reshot that ending with Antonio Banderas doing the story, and I think it was Steven Spielberg's idea to make it a bookend like that.
Uh-huh.
And then everyone loved that ending, and the test audiences at least. So it's cool that you say that.
Did you love that ending, Paul, or did you love the bedtime stories?
I thought it was nice. I thought it was good.
Okay.
I didn't hate it. It didn't particularly go, oh, this is really cinematic history here. You know what I mean?
But it wrapped it up really nicely. I thought it was great, you know, where probably with meeting Santa Ana all of a sudden would be kind of too gaping open.
Yeah.
Yeah, to introduce
it was a good idea, but...
I think if you're introducing a completely new character, it has to be James Bond at the end of Robin Hood. Otherwise, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which to me was a little, I mean, that was kind of lucky that worked out so well.
Yes.
I mean, but.
But yeah. I digress.
Anyway.
Paul, what is something you loved about Mask of Zorro?
I liked the training in the Batcave.
Ah, yes.
Yes.
The lair, that whole scene, that whole idea of the mentor training the young apprentice, and there was some comedic elements in there, you know, with Antonio, between the two Tonys and the two Zorros. So just that montage, that scene I liked, and the setting that it was in.
Yeah,
I enjoyed the kind of. Let's make it a dance music in the background too that accompanied it.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was saving that for my next thing is no, it's fine. As the music. I enjoyed the music of this film, especially, I mean, not all of it, but the one where they had like the clapping and the dancing sound effects through it, and the little strums of the Southwest or whatever you call it. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be I would say the Latin music, is that
yeah.
I'm trying to be PC here,
possibly flamenco.
It's yeah fine, Paul.
Yeah,
but you love the music.
I like that mixed with the orchestra. I wish there was a little more of the Mexican music flavor in there.
Yeah, I gotta say the thing that I really, one of the first things I really liked about this movie was the music as well. I was able to tell pretty much right away that it was James Horner because he has this signature woodwind like.
Yes, which we discussed in a previous podcast.
We did?
Yes, he did one of the movies.
Well,
he did The Karate Kid.
He did.
That had the same, yes. Oh, he had the same flute thing.
Well, this is the flute thing that happens in Willow. Like, I remember it a lot from Willow, so.
Okay, well, he did The Karate Kid.
Okay, well, awesome. Cool. I think I was talking about not like a nice flute, because I don't remember that sound effect.
It's not a nice flute.
Wow. Okay, we are in the weeds with Karate Kid, which makes no sense. Let's get back to Mask of Zorro. I did want to say that I love the training montage as well. I like that it wasn't just like straight music with training. There were like, they would do that for a little bit.
There's almost sound effects, I mean, in a way.
Yes. I'm not sure what you mean, but okay.
Well, like with the clapping, it was like,
yeah, there were some moments of no music but just clapping.
Yeah.
I meant
give it like a rhythm.
I meant there are moments where they were talking to one another and it was like, okay, this is why I'm training you. Then it'd go back to the music and seeing him do stuff. That's what I was talking about. And I thought that was really well done. And I do like how Antonio, speaking of those comedic elements, him like swinging the sword at the beginning and then
he just knocks it over.
Yeah.
Yes.
Diego just totally knocks it out. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I definitely like those things. Sharon, what was something else you really liked about the movie?
Well, kind of towards the end of that, of the training sequences, I guess. When I don't remember what he says now, but old Zorro, you know, says something like, it's time to, you need more training, or it's time for the next step in training, something like that. And so new Zorro, you know, gets ready, gets out, and he pulls out his sword and he's ready. And then, you know, Hopkins whips out a spoon.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
I'd forgotten that part. And so that was, yes. I mean, that was one of my favorite parts originally.
Yeah, you certainly don't see that coming.
No. I was kind of glad they didn't do like a whole sequence of training him to be a gentleman, you know, which you see a lot. Like the only thing I can think of is Beauty and the Beast, but you know, you've seen that in other movies, and they just went straight to he's playing that part really well.
I did appreciate that there weren't like essentially two montages back to back. It just,
That's probably why they didn't, I guess. But
Well, what were your thoughts about that? Or, if no thoughts, what was something else you really liked?
I agree. The two montages back to back would have been a bit much. No, I like the spoon, that idea, that whole thing, yeah. And that leading into, I liked Catherine Zeta-Jones in that role. I thought she did a good job.
Okay.
I absolutely, you know, full on woman crush on her, I guess. I fell madly in love, and I am very heterosexual, but I fell madly in love with Catherine Zeta-Jones in that role. I just gotta say.
Yeah, cool. I thought they did a good job casting her. She did a really good job of playing that role.
From her voice, the looks, you know, the attitude, it was great.
Very cool. So, Paul, you liked Catherine Zeta-Jones as well?
Yeah, she's able to play the strong female lead without being too strong or too weak.
Yeah, I'd say actually she did a good job of that. I don't know why I'm going there. Yeah, I was just going to say I agree.
So Francisco, unrelated, what is something you liked?
Is something else I really liked about the movie was... a bunch of the quotes, essentially.
Yeah, some of the dialogue was really well written.
It was really snappy. Like, one of my favorites was right after, and I'm going to just try use their character names, Diego, which is Anthony Hopkins, when he finds Alejandro, played by Antonio Banderas, in the bar or something. And Alejandro is all ready to go get the Colonel Mustard. Who's the guy that lost to
Love, Colonel Love?
Yeah,
no, Colonel. No.
But I'm thinking of
Paul. His last stand.
Of. Yes.
Oh.
Colonel
Custer.
That's it.
That's what it is. Thank you, Sharon. Anyway, wow.
That's actually who they modeled him after.
Oh, really? Okay.
Surprised. Yeah.
Totally they see that.
Yeah. Yeah,
me as well. Anyway. So Alejandro's about to go get him, and then Diego's like, you would have fought very bravely and died very quickly.
Yeah.
I thought that was like, yeah, that's totally true. And then...
and he's a well-trained killer, and you're a well-trained drunk or something
exactly.
like that.
Yeah.
And then just before he trains him, after Alejandro does that sword swinging I was talking about... And Diego says, do you know how to use that thing? And Alejandro's like, yes, the pointy end goes in the other man.
Yes.
But anyway, yeah, a lot of the dialogue was very, very well done and very comedic, which made the movie all the funner.
If funner was a word, or is a word.
All the more fun. Sorry, grammar police.
You added more funner. It's either more fun or funner. Sorry. Anyway, go ahead.
Oh, I didn't realize that. I'm sorry. Even more funner.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sharon, let's go back to you. What's another thing you liked about the movie?
Well, something I'd forgotten about until, you know, rewatching it. And I just remember being so intrigued by it when I watched it before, you know, the several times I watched it as a older kid. When is it Colonel Love? Is that, I know he's, that's his last name.
I think it's a, yeah, I think he's like a colonel. Lieutenant, I think he's a major.
Anyway, when Love has Alejandro to come meet with him in his quarters or whatever, in his office, mm-hmm. and you know, he pulls out the jars with the heads and the hand in it. I remember that being so intriguing for me. I don't know why. I thought it was. I mean, it's kind of random. You know, it gives you a sense of how sick and twisted Love is, but mm-hmm. I don't know. It was just, and then when Alejandro like did the icing on the cake of that scene is when Alejandro did, to me, you know, kind of sticks it to him, who is, you know, he's the guy suspecting him of actually being the criminal, or the outlaw, and then Alejandro just stands up, gets ready to leave, and he actually takes a sip from the jar.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that was so gross. Head. Yes.
It was horrible, but it was also, it was kind of poetically beautiful in a you're not going to get me kind of way.
Yeah.
Tragic, but also like, you know,
my brother's death isn't going to be in vain. Oh, yeah. Or that.
Yeah.
Too.
And also how, like, I mean, he can stomach. I mean, he had to spit it out, you know, when he walked out, but like, he really, you know, showed Love what he's up against, I think, in that little moment.
And it probably wasn't that distasteful because we had to remember that he's a vampire from Interview with the Vampire.
Oh no. I didn't like that scene at first because he was calling him over, "Hey, come meet with me." And he's like, "Oh, whatever." And he's like, "No, come meet with me." If he was really like an upperclassman, he would just totally disregard and say,
"Yeah."
I think he said perhaps some other time, and I think he would have totally, if he was really going to play that part, go that way.
Mm-hmm.
But then I have that in my head as I'm watching the scene. This is totally worthless. It's sick. It's bizarre. But then what really got me is after he went all through that and he didn't like lunge forward and stick him in the heart with the knife right then and there, was afterward when Anthony Hopkins' character said, "Oh, I'm going to go after the guy who stole my daughter." And then Antonio Banderas, I could really feel his pain when he was like, "Are you kidding me? I was going after this guy and I didn't. Oh, because you said not to." And he had the chance. I really felt for him.
Yeah.
So that scene was pivotal in really getting my emotions up at that point.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very cool. Well, next, we'll share what we thought. If there was one thing about this movie that we loved the most or thought that would put Mask of Zorro at the top to be a classic, we'll share what that was. But before that, I want to share some feedback we got from Facebook about Mask of Zorro. First, Valerie Powers, Paul's wife, said, "I love Mask of Zorro. Such an enjoyable film."
Yes.
And Christy Ruiz, my wife, said, "I remember really liking this movie when it first came out. I really, really liked Antonio Banderas at the time as well, probably because of Evita." And Sharon Powers, who is you are listening to as we speak, responded to Christy saying, "Josh would not stop singing, 'Oh, what a circus.'" I've never seen Evita, so I'm not going to sing it right.
"Oh, what a circus.
Yeah, that too.
What a show."
"When we watched The Mask of Zorro the other night." And Josh responded, When they're ringing
your curtain down. Yeah,
demand to be married like Diego,
like Diego de la Vega.
Yeah. So it was lost on me, but I wanted to share that. And I'm actually going to save the last piece as a transition into our not so liking section, but go ahead and say our favorite memories. Let's start with Paul.
All right. What would make this a classic, if anything, in my opinion, is Antonio Banderas himself. I mean, him as Zorro, I think is the best. You have a Latin person playing Zorro and he plays it the best. I mean, he is him. And so he's very believable as a character, and I really can get behind him and root for him. So to me, what would make this a classic is Antonio. And you have to say it like that. Antonio Banderas. Antonio.
All right, very good. Sharon, how about you? What would make Mask of Zorro a classic from the things that you loved about it?
I had to laugh so much when Paul declared his reason, because mine, and while I pretty much agree with everything he just said, for me, the classic maker of the movie is Anthony Hopkins. Oh, nice. My goodness. He can just stand there kind of leaning with his hand on his hip the whole time with a sword in his other hand and just stare at the other character. And it's just incredible. but he does so much more. he was amazing. He was the perfect Diego de la Vega, I think. Mm-hmm. I could sit at his feet and watch him play a mentor role all day, every day. And his hair was impeccable.
It's all about the hair. Good. Wish I had some. So before I say mine, I did forget. I skipped past this. I'm sorry. But it's sort of related to yours, Paul. Deborah Powers says, who's Paul's mom...
Who's also been on the podcast.
Check that out for the and Sharon's mother-in-law. The last Starfighter episode. Go and search for that. I think it's episode number 24.
She was awesome in it, too. Aww. She rocked that episode.
Yes. It was awesome to have her on. Back to Zorro, though, and her comment about said movie. she loves the chemistry between Antonio Banderas and Catherine Zeta-Jones. Plus, yes. Love that they used authentic Spanish speakers. And I'm not sure Catherine Zeta-Jones is Spanish or
no,
Mexican.
She isn't, but she's mainly talking about Antonio Banderas. He was the first Latin person to play in an American movie or TV show to actually play a Latin American Zorro, who he was supposed to be.
I do want to say that Antonio Banderas is Spanish, not Mexican. So there is
that's why I said
a little
Latin
distinction. Better. I know, and you did perfectly. You did perfectly by saying Latin. But yeah. That's an interesting thing if he's supposed to be Mexican because he's from there, but I don't know.
What? Oh, I guess he is.
Diego should have been Spanish, so.
But. Well.
No, he should have been Anthony Hopkins.
Well, yeah, okay, whatever. Anyway, that's beside the point. He did do a fantastic job. And as much as I liked him in this role, I'd say the thing that would make Mask of Zorro a classic for me are just the action set pieces. There's so much variety to them, and they always kept me interested, and I never could guess at what was going to happen. I found them very engaging, and they were very fun to watch. Often, as the movie progresses, the action sort of gets less visceral and less engaging. A little? What?
Yeah, I agree. It got a little, not as much.
Yeah, at the very end, at the mine scene, that got a little, but for the most part, everything was really, really awesome in terms of the action. So that'd be the thing that would put Mask of Zorro over the top for me.
Yeah, I agree with the actions. And I also... That one scene where he pulls out the sword towards the end and that little thing of light goes across his sword, that little sheen, I know it's kind of like, oh, that's kind of hokey, but that didn't have any special effects. They timed that
really?
With the sun.
Okay.
Yeah, that was like, all right, that lens flare was an actual lens flare.
I got to give it to him that. That's cool. All right.
Because anyway.
the cheese factor went down, so cool. And now before we get to the things we didn't like about Mask of Zorro, let me read our Facebook comment from Ryan Jackson, our regular listener. He says, "Very cool. I kind of have a funny story about this movie. One of my best friends, Jacob Sisson, I think is how you pronounce it, and I had planned to see this film when it came out. He had just got his license, which of course is a huge deal when you're a teenager. The movie came to a special one-screen theater in downtown Anchorage, Alaska. He picked me up. We were running late, but we had to stop to get our cream sodas, of course. Then it was on to the theater, which we couldn't find. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
When finally we arrived, the theater was locked, and we were hopelessly late.
Oh, they're probably using maps by Siri.
Didn't have them back then, probably. Ryan continues. So we toasted our cream sodas right there in front of the theater and then went to an arcade. Well done. I finally saw the movie sometime later on VHS and loved it. Would totally rate it a classic. The scene that always comes to mind is Antonio Banderas jumping off the two-story building, missing the horse, and landing painfully on his legs. Ouch!
Oh, my goodness. So I rewound that scene several times and watched. I was like, how did they do that? I mean, like,
audacious stunt person,
or was it one take? It looked like in the middle of the fall, did they cut the scene and like have the rest of the fall
be a dummy
down?
Or something?
Yeah, or you know, like the first half of it, there was like a pad underneath that, but they cut that out.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I was wondering how they did that.
Very seamless. However, they did it. It looked real.
Yeah.
But was there anything that didn't look real in Mask of Zorro?
The gold? I don't know.
So was the gold something you hated about Mask of Zorro, Paul? Let's start with you.
No, I was trying to answer that question literally. Oh, you know what I didn't like about the Mask of Zorro?
What?
Is that people could still tell who he was underneath it. Like, it only covered, like, part of it up, you know? Like, you can tell that's Antonio Banderas.
But we know his features and stuff.
Just like you can tell it's Superman if he's wearing glasses and his hair is more different.
No, you can't.
And you can tell it's Batman
when he talks like this.
Okay, so you didn't like that. It didn't really bother me, but that's okay. Sharon, what was something you didn't like about the movie?
Oh, we're talking about the movie? I thought we were talking about the mask.
And that's part of the
movie.
Movie
is the mask.
Oh, okay.
Cool.
But I thought it was very dramatic when he pulled off his mask towards the end or during the fight. I was like, oh, yeah, that's a good scene. Anyway, go ahead.
It's not Zorro fighting you.
Yeah, it's now Antonio Banderas.
Brother.
Oh.
What did my life?
Well, while you're thinking of that...
Oh, I remember the thing I didn't like.
Awesome.
Oh, you only have one thing? I have a whole list of things.
There was more than one thing, but this was the main thing I didn't like. I loved the show as a kid. I didn't watch it, you know, all the time, but when I did, I loved it.
Oh, the black and white Disney one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, that reminds me of what I didn't like about the movie. Go ahead.
I didn't see him wearing his hat enough. I wanted more of his hat.
Yeah.
Okay. I really did.
And I thought this movie would have been better if they had the overweight Mexican guard guy in it.
I think it was lacking without him.
Yes. Did they have someone like that?
Yeah, they had someone similar, but not close
enough.
Yeah,
it was kind of a nod to him, but that was
not a big enough nod.
Yeah.
Okay. So wait, what was yours, Sharon? That it just wasn't enough.
Didn't wear
like?
The hat enough.
Oh, didn't
I
wear the hat
enough. I wanted more of the hat.
Okay. All right. And so that was the thing that you didn't like, Paul, that the big guy wasn't in it enough?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
If anything would make this not a classic, it's him missing from it.
All right. Yeah. You guys have your priorities.
Yeah.
For me, something that I didn't really like was I thought some of the things they did were a bit cheesy. You dissuaded me about the light burst on the sword, Paul, since that was unreal. That's awesome.
Yeah, but they had to do a couple takes to just get that just right.
Okay.
So anyway, go ahead.
But the flaming Z in the beginning.
Oh, that was cool.
No, it
was. Oh, when he walked in? No. Okay. Are you talking about at the very beginning when he walks in and he does the Z and it kind of goes in flames? That part?
Yeah.
That's the best.
It is not.
That is the best way to intro the movie. It's the best way to end the movie. That was that was the best part of the whole movie.
Disagree. Where is the flame coming from, Paul? Where is the flame coming from?
It's the imagination. Oh my God. It comes, you know what it comes from? Awesomeness. That's how hot this movie is.
The Californian spirit.
Yes.
Wow. Okay. I don't think you just swayed me, but all right.
The flame of awesomeness.
The flame of awesomeness. Yes. Okay. Well, while you guys think of your next one, I do want to say this is from another Facebook post from a new listener, Vinny Gianfredi III. I'm sorry if I pronounced your name wrong, Vinny. He says, as much as I heartily enjoy both Sirs, Sean Connery and Anthony Hopkins, pasty British men make bad Spanish sword teacher people.
Oh, I was going to bring this up to counter Sharon as one of the things that I didn't like, but go ahead. Continue.
Okay, yeah, and then we can go you, Paul.
Yes.
Vinny continues, I haven't seen it in years, but I do remember that although it isn't bad for a big budget blockbuster, it's far inferior to Connery's Highlander and certainly isn't a classic. Dun, dun, dun.
I don't know about comparing it to Highlander.
And I've never seen Highlander, so I wouldn't be able to compare it.
Yeah, but I disagree with having Anthony Hopkins as good of a job that he did. For me, the believability factor made it far less when he played that role because he wasn't Latino. Mm-hmm. If they had an older gentleman that was I don't know, very well popular in the Latin community that mm-hmm. had that kind of grace. I don't know if I'm sure there is one somewhere, but to have him, it just wasn't believable to me as a Mexican or a Spaniard. So
Sharon responds.
That's one of the, that's, that was my opinion though.
Disagree.
Disagree.
So I just, well, okay. So since back in the day, Zorro was always played by a white guy, right?
Well, I believe
in
so.
America. Yes.
In America. But, right. So this is kind of like
a nod to that. No, I think they just couldn't find anyone better.
Here, I have someone that's better, though. I think he may have been a little too young when this movie came out to have worked. But I think Alfred Molina would have been great, and he has Spanish heritage in his blood.
I don't know who that is, but put some old Dr.
Octopus
on.
From Spider-Man
he
2.
Was really
and the
Spider-Man
tall
2.
Mexican in Maverick.
Yeah, that's, and the guy in Indiana Jones in the
yes, that guy too.
Yeah, and he's also Alfred Tetzel in Luther, and he's the mayor in Chocolat.
Okay, so anyway,
mayor. Great guy.
Let's go back
you know
to
what else is wrong with this movie.
Please, Paul, share.
Okay. All right. One of the things I didn't like, I thought it was a little too unbelievable, was the ending, the climax of, oh, I'm going to pick up my gold right as we're going to blow up the mine. The mine. And I thought, you know, realistically, you want to separate those from, you know, each other. So it just didn't help with the believable factor for me. Having that all be at the same. I know you're trying to build up tension, mm-hmm. but let's focus on one ending, not try to combine two different ones.
I'm not quite following, Paul. Like them trying to kill Raphael and also trying to save the people that trapped in the mine?
Raphael trying to get his gold out and blow up the people right after. Or it's too close together.
He should just focus on the gold or something.
Right, and then leave with it.
Yeah, okay. That actually makes sense.
Well, I'd say he was... there was a lot going on, but he seemed to have organized well, you know, having his people who were responsible for blowing up the people, the slaves, and while he was obsessing over his gold.
I'm just saying it didn't seem believable to me that he would still be there.
No, what else wasn't believable about the whole explosion were the weird cougar sound effects that the sound designers seemed to throw in, thinking that that would sound like explosions.
Yeah. I was like, this is... What? I mean, there could be some mountain lions nearby that were affected by the sound.
That was the sound of awesomeness to go with that the flaming was. Z at the beginning.
Oh my gosh. But more seriously, with the whole that ending scene, I found it, I didn't quite like how Zorro wasn't trying to free the people. I mean, I know it gave Elena, Catherine Zeta-Jones, something to do to save them, but I feel like he should have, if he's the hero of the people, he should have been saving the people first and then going and trying to defeat Love.
He was still focused on his revenge,
Well, he's only human.
Okay.
But you're right. That's a
point. Well, maybe they felt that if they... Yeah, I thought the timing of cutting the... what do you call that? The... Shoot. What the flame was attached to. The string, you know? The fuse. Hello.
Oh, wow. Fuse. Yeah. Yes, yes.
You know, with the flame and the string and the burning and the boom.
I blame that I've been sick this week. I have sick brain left over. anyway, that, you know, Elena cut the fuse, you know, right before she went to save the people, I think. But I think it would have been much more effective had Zorro cut the fuse on his way to kill the bad guy, fight the bad guy. You know,
I'll deal with you people later.
Yeah. I mean, they're not going to die while they're, I mean, at least he stopped them from the imminent danger. And now he's going to go take care of the people who are trying to blow them up, and will continue to try until they're taken care of. So
at the end, he'll be like, okay, what did I do right? What did I do wrong? Areas of improvement. So that's one of those areas.
He's going to be having a work review.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Just sidebar. I'm curious real quick. Have either of you seen the sequel to this? I have not.
Yes.
No, I want to.
I saw it in theaters.
Really disappointing, but I really want to see it.
Really?
Okay.
It's not as good as the first, but I thought it was fine.
Okay.
Okay, moving on.
Moving on. So, Sharon,
You know what else I didn't like?
Let's give Sharon a chance in case there were any other things she didn't like.
I'm going down my list.
Good. If not,
while
Sharon,
you're
we can.
Thinking,
I don't know. Sometimes there could be little moments where Elena was a little over the top, slightly. Ah, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But she was just so enchanting that you tend to forgive her.
Yes.
You know?
I do want to say Chrissy did not really like her in this movie. I think she's only likes her in one movie, actually. I think she's not one of Chrissy's favorite. Chrissy, my wife, not one of her favorite actresses. Paul, go ahead with your list, though.
Again, I'm going to have to disagree with Sharon in the impeccable hair of Sir Anthony Hopkins. But what I was the hair. I thought it was good that at least if Sir Anthony was going to play this, he had the mustache and the goatee. Uh-huh. At one point, little Zorro, or the younger Zorro,
Alejandro,
he pulls off his mustache like it's fake. And it's like, wait a second, what is this about? What, since when is he wearing fake mustache? And then at the end of the movie, they both don't have any facial hair, which I think takes away from the Latin look. And I thought if they kept it, I thought it would have helped. But by the end of the movie, they turned more and more American as they were going. So, I mean, and Sir Anthony Hopkins' hair got like very combed and straight and like he looked less and less Latino. And I'm like, why? Anyway. So the
I
hair
remember Anthony Hopkins' facial hair being gone at the end.
Yeah, he did. When he died, he didn't have any. He didn't have the mustache or the.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Soul pouch. Yeah.
I don't remember him having it when he played the servant. So
I do remember.
Maybe that's why he shaved.
That moment when Alejandro removes his facial hair, peels it off. I remember thinking, I thought he had shaved it to be that, and then I just told myself, oh, he must have just been wearing that stick on for the gentleman role.
Mm-hmm.
part that he was playing. It was part of his disguise, you know, of not looking like his common self. I don't know. I remember noticing being taken aback as well.
The whole facial hair thing or any of the hair didn't really, I didn't notice any of that. It didn't bother me, but thank you for sharing that, Paul.
Let me go back one step because you mentioned Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Yes, go
ahead. There was one part I didn't like. As she's freeing the people trapped in the mine, she's taking a gun and shooting at the locks, and there's people behind those locks.
Yeah.
That it was like, are you?
That was pretty sad.
One of the angles are like, okay, that's to the side more, but one of them was just right at the people inside. It's like, come on, let's make this a little more believable.
It's a very focused gun.
Paul, omelets, you know.
All right, you can't make an omelet without breaking eggs. Understood.
Poor mine workers. Something else that I didn't like was I actually didn't. I mean, I know they were bookends, the beginning and the end, with how they're...
Storytelling?
That in and of itself wasn't bad, the storytelling scenes with them and their babies. But it seemed like Alejandro and Diego's lives were very parallel throughout the movie. It's almost like I was watching, not a deja vu of the same movie, but I was watching the same movie twice happening at the same time. It was very odd. Like, Diego was going against Raphael, and Alejandro was going against love, and they both had babies at the end, and they both had love interests that one died, one almost died. It's
now you don't need to see the sequel, because at the sequel, someone comes in and shoots Catherine Zeta-Jones and steals their child.
Wow. That's
no, that's not true.
Oh, okay. is old if that's what's happening. Go ahead.
Period
Sean.
Drama Matrix. There's a glitch in the...
Sure.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the only way to become Zorro, is that lifeline.
Exactly.
They have similar lifelines.
Well, I didn't care for it. I just thought it was really odd. Oh,
I think it was part of the cheese factor, but it was endearing for me.
Well, I thought it would have been way more interesting if Diego had this life of revenge, if Alejandro started that way, but then... grew to something much more, and like he goes and frees the peasants first. He goes beyond revenge, and
he did when he didn't confront his brother's killer then and there.
But in at the end, it still goes
it's
back
not
to
as
that
full circle.
Well, yeah. He needed to be dealt with.
Sure, but the gold, you know, dealt with him. Hence, revenge is a dish best served gold.
Oh, was that line in the movie?
No, I came up with it.
Oh, that's why I was like, I don't remember that line. In what movie are you doing?
It took me a moment, but then I enjoyed it when I got it.
Well, thank you. Paul or Sharon, one more thing before we get to the things that would make Mask of Zorro a second-class movie. Or if you don't have anything else, just go for it with second-class-ness.
Is there anything else, Sharon? I have one major thing that I've been saving up.
Uh-oh.
I do as well.
Go for it.
All right. This is the time. I know this is hard to do, but if you're going to take on the role of Zorro, you need to do it well. And they did a lot of things well in this movie, but what they didn't do well, I felt, is that you have a guy with the weapon as a sword in the age where other people have guns.
Yes.
He's bringing a sword fight to a gunfight. And so there were moments where like he's in the mansion and all the guards are chasing after him. Nobody has guns. They're guards and they don't have guns. They all have swords. And it's like...
Loaded them, and it takes a while to load them, maybe? That's sort of how I suspended my disbelief. But yeah, that's a good point, Paul.
But and especially it's like when Alejandro finally confronted the Goldilocks there, and he takes out the lieutenant or the colonel takes out his gun.
I'm like,
and then throws it
dude.
To the side, and then is like, oh, this must be an honorable scene or something. and then Zorro asks, I have one question for you, and I'm like, yeah, why'd you throw away your gun?
Yeah. Well, oh, Mr. Honor, you know, turncoat from America is now Mr. Honor.
I think those guns, especially of those time, weren't as great for close range combat.
Oh, they're excellent for shooting deer, those pistols.
I mean, you know, like when they would do duels, they would, you know, back then they would take, you know, they have to be so many paces away from each other.
The closer so, like, it would
really
be, it
close
would hurt
combat,
more.
It's not so good, like hand to hand. Whatnot.
I'll have to disagree with you. We can duel about it.
Yeah. Nice.
Yes. High noon tomorrow.
All right.
Yes.
Central time.
Sharon, what was there anything that would make Mask of Zorro a second class for you?
No comment at this time.
No comment. All right. For me, this is like a comment within a comment. So stick with me as best you can. First, I want to say that it really bothered me, the scene where... You don't even know yet, Paul. It really bothered me, the scene where Alejandro and Elena are fighting, like they're doing their little duel, that at the end, Alejandro essentially, he's disarmed her and then is looking at her and essentially cuts all the seams to like essentially make her topless, even though her hair covers her breasts, but...
Yeah.
Right.
I thought that was such a demeaning move and so like just it really bothered me. If they had done the same result had happened, but they were fighting and it just so happened that all his cuts happened to just take off her clothes, then that would have been much finer with me.
Yeah.
But the idea that he's like, let me see. How can I see you naked? Let me cut these things. And haha, you are now naked and I get to relish in that and you get to be naked. It just irked me so much.
Okay.
Go ahead and you can say something to that before I go to my larger point, Paul.
Okay. Do you have anything to add to that, Sharon?
Not to add. I saw the humor in it. I can see where you're saying it might have been more, it just might have been better executed had it, happened through the fight.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then
it was kind of like, okay, this is, I won, so here's my, not reward, but kind of almost sticking it to you. That I beat you,
Yeah.
And it shamed her, but at the same time, it thrilled her, like she,
right,
she was loving the attention.
Yes, and that's what I was gonna jump on. Is that the I agree, it would have been better if throughout the fight it happened to come out that way, but the between the two was more of a dance, and it was more of a, there was an underlining sexual charge, I should say more of attraction between the two. And so that this was a little taunt by him of a, aha, and I'll even take away the hat that's covering you and slide my hand across the rim as I exit in a suave, debonair.
Well, and it was kind of the opposite of leveling. It was, yes, you're a great swordswoman, but...
Be careful who you mess with.
I mean, it's not saying that, obviously I'm better than you or anything like that. It's saying at the end of this fight, I'm still a man, you're still a woman, and we still have the hots for each other. you're acting tough at me, but you want me. It's just, I don't know.
I think they could have done it in a way that wouldn't have come across to me. I mean, I totally get that they are attracted to one another, but I think you're sending the message though that if you think you're attracted to someone, then it's okay to, not that you're going to be in a sword fight with someone, but it's okay to think about them lustfully, even if they don't necessarily think about you
that
same way. And
culture.
I know. Yes. Well, then I'm I don't like the culture right now either, but that's way beyond the scope of this podcast.
Yeah. Francisco, was this movie made by the world?
Yes, Paul.
Okay. So you got to take it in that context. Oh,
now, usually I'm not a proponent of that form of courtship, let's say. But I mean, it fit the bill, you know. I mean, it fit the culture that the movie was all about.
You know what? So, that perfectly transitioned me into my larger point, Sharon. Okay. Yes, it does perfectly fit the bill of the culture of this movie. And the way I think this movie is trying to say is that we are just, the whole point of us living is to act out our base desires, whether it's fighting and killing people, whether it's lusting after people, or just trying to make sure you get what's yours, all that. I think it's all this movie is trying to say is that here is what humans want on a very base level. Enjoy. There's nothing deeper to it. And that bothered me a lot, that there was nothing, that it wasn't trying to say anything more. Even, I think even like Robin Hood, which has similar themes running through it, has a lot more to say about freedom and relationships between people that are different.
I disagree.
Oh, okay. Go for it, Paul. Why do you disagree?
I think they give the same message if you want to look that deep into either of them, or take them both as what they are, an action adventure. So it depends on how deep you want to look into it.
Well, where do you see the deepness in this movie? I'm curious.
Yeah, I think it stops short. I agree, Francisco. I hate to admit it about this beloved film, but I agree.
Not to say that a lot of it isn't fun, and for popcorn flicks, I'm not trying to say that there isn't a place for that, but that's what irked me about this movie. But Paul,
reminds me of when you watch Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, all you get is a depressing moral of all we are is dust in the wind, dude. That's it. So, I mean, to me, it's the same thing. Where are you going with that? If you want to pull that out of this, then that's fine. But you can pull that out of almost any movie.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
All right. That doesn't really sway me one way or the other, but thanks for that.
It's not supposed to.
Oh, okay.
I'm just...
You just want to have your two cents. I get it, Paul. I get it. Sharon, was there? Did any thoughts spur for you for something that could make that Mask of Zorro second class?
Well, I think you kind of hit that nail on the head pretty well. It had a lot of potential for some stronger, deeper messages that, you know, like Robin Hood. That it kind of fell short of. But I will say,
say it.
though that is true, it doesn't. You know, when you're immersed in the world of the film of the Mask of Zorro, it doesn't take away from enjoyment of the film. Feeling it's this empty shell, you know, while you're watching it.
Exactly. So, that's all I was saying. It's like, look, you can derive that from in just about any movie, but it doesn't mean you will.
Okay.
But I mean, you know, it definitely had that potential and it's,
Okay.
Anyway.
Well, I think we've sort of killed that tornado horse or beat it with a stick, whatever the idiom is. So, Alice, do you have a firing solution for us?
Firing solution complete. Rating salvo at the ready. On your mark.
Yes, it is time for the moment of truth. So let's go ahead and say why, if we thought Mask of Zorro was a classic or second class, and how we rate classic or second class. Let's start with Sharon.
How I rate classic or second class. Classic, I can watch it over and over again, and it's more than just the nostalgia factor. I still find it I feel like it holds up. And I wouldn't be embarrassed to have friends over who've never seen it before, such as my husband. and Second Class, well, you know, the opposite of that. Yeah. I vote this a First Class classic. Okay, maybe not a First Class classic, but a classic indeed.
Classic. All right. Thank you, Sharon. We have a classic from Sharon. Paul, what say you?
How I define a classic, or I have defined a classic. If I had friends over, peers over, who've never seen the movie, and if I say, you have got to see this movie, that's a classic. If I say you can pass on it, it's Second Class. And for The Mask of Zorro, I would have to say this is unfortunately Second Class.
Oh, because
as much as I enjoyed this film, if you've never seen it, you're not missing much, unfortunately. Now, if you have a desire to see Zorro, or if you've never seen anything about Zorro, I would say this is the essential classic Zorro movie to watch. And if you're looking for a fun adventure, then this, yes, is fun. I would agree, and I would recommend this. But if you are not, then if you haven't seen this, I won't say this is on your must-see list, unfortunately, basically due to the unbelievability factor and some of the cheesiness in it. I think kind of ruined it for me a little bit in that way, but it's still a fun, great film.
All right, Paul, thank you. So
may I say something?
Yes, sure, Sharon, persuade me, persuade me.
Well, I don't know how well this will persuade you, but I will say that when I did my little rewatch this week, I watched it with my dear husband who had never seen it before in his life.
What? Really? Wow.
And, okay. Seriously. And he loved it. He actually rated
it. All right, that persuaded me. It's a Second Class. No.
I think you need to look up what persuade means there, Paul.
Yes. Mm. Unfortunately, I really like this film, but unfortunately, I'd watch Pee-wee's Big Adventure before I'd watch this movie again.
Interesting. All right. Well, we have a classic from Sharon and Second Class from Paul, which leaves it to me. And a little caveat, not really a caveat, a little backstory. I was not sure how I'd rate this going in. I really did.
Oh, you didn't give a prediction?
No, like afterwards. After watching it, I was so close. And so I was going to leave it to the round table to see if either of you guys could persuade me.
And you haven't been persuaded either
right.
way.
Let me say this. I really wish that both of you would have rated it a classic so that I could have rated it Second Class with a clear conscience, because it is a fun movie. But I'm going to have to rate it Second Class. Because
Wait, so you wouldn't recommend it to Sophia to watch?
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't ban her from watching it, and I didn't fall asleep during it. But overall, I enjoyed the action pieces, but I didn't. The things I enjoyed were not outweighed by the things that really bothered me about the movie. So there were certainly things I enjoyed, but if it's a balance, the things I didn't like outweighed it, which is really unfortunate because, like Sharon was saying, and I might have said, but no, I think what Sharon was saying, that there was a lot of potential to this movie, and I think it could have been so much more. And it would have just needed a little bit of tweaking, I think, to make it that much more.
Anthony Hopkins.
Which is why I didn't like it. You're not persuading me.
I'm persuading Francisco at the moment.
Oh, okay.
I thought Anthony Hopkins was fine, but it's just...
See?
I'm sorry. I feel... I usually don't feel bad about how I rate a movie. I'm usually very cold-hearted about it. But I do feel bad that I ran this a Second Class, because it was a lot of fun. But
because
it was not more fun than it was...
Bad.
No, that's actually a good persuasion. The reason why you feel bad is because you should rate it a classic.
That's your conscience speaking. Oh my gosh.
But now you're in a lesser of two evils.
All right.
Because if you'd go back on that, you'll feel bad about that. Which do I choose?
According to the Retro Rewind podcast, The Mask of Zorro is a disputed second-class movie.
I'm glad it's at least a little bit of a classic.
Yes.
Because it's a fun movie.
If you agree with what Sharon had to say, and I'd go so much as to say if you haven't seen it, it's worth watching. If you have seen it, though, I just leave it as a good memories if that's what you have. I wouldn't rewatch it. And if you are with sort of more in line with what me and Paul said, probably leave it again in your memories.
Yeah. It's because it didn't have that overweight Mexican guard.
Wow.
That was
moving on to our new tube section. Alice, engage new tube.
New tube systems engaged.
All right, guys, let's talk about the things that are contemporary that we've been watching or reading or playing. Sharon, let's start with you. What's new on your tube?
This is a bit of, this isn't something I would typically bring up for a YouTube segment, but two reasons. It is, January is Human Trafficking Awareness Month, and it's also my birth month, so I get a little privilege-y.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. I just wanted to give a shout out to the Well House. It's local to where I live, the Birmingham, Alabama area. Mm-hmm. And
they're very deep.
They actually are. But they are it's a faith-based nonprofit organization. And it offers immediate housing and shelter for women who have been trafficked or, sold as prostitutes or mm-hmm. any, sexually exploited, anything like that. Mm-hmm. And just provides, clothing, food, counseling, just whatever necessities they might need, GED prep. It's pretty awesome, and if anybody wants to check it out, their website is the-wellhouse.org. So awesome. Check them out.
Thank you so much for sharing that, Sharon. That's really important.
My pleasure.
Makes me feel like my new
right.
I had to go first, but,
honestly, me too, Paul. So. But go ahead. What's new on your
channel?
That
was not my purpose.
Mine is a little game you can get on your phone.
Do the profits go to end human trafficking?
No.
Then you fail. Oh my gosh. What's wrong with you?
They go to support this world that Francisco doesn't like to be reminded about in movies.
Anyway, what is new on your tube?
The game that that I've been playing a lot lately is called Ski Safari. It's it's available on Android or iPhone or whatever.
iOS.
It's basically, it's one of those ones where you're a character and you're like skiing down a hill constantly, and you have all these obstacles, and you can get these upgrades, and it's a lot of fun. There's different stages. Well, at least it's a lot of fun for me. It's pretty addictive trying to get more coins so I can buy more stuff to ski down the slope with. But it's really cool because you can, have you ever played the old Windows game where the abominable snowman is chasing after you?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I have ridden for the Matterhorn at Disneyland.
But for those of you who have played it, it's kind of like a variation on that, except there's an avalanche chasing you, and you can actually get on the back and ride down on the back of the abominable snowman and different characters like that. So it's fun. Check it out. I think it's $1. Sometimes it's free. You know those apps that are free sometimes and what's normally $1? I got it when it was on free. When it was free. So keep an eye out for that.
Very cool.
Oh, so Francisco, what's new on your tube?
So what's new on my tube is it's kind of an old tube, actually, but it's very new to me. I finally finished reading Ender's Game, which is I've read the book.
The book?
Yeah, I've read the book.
The first one, because there's like a series. Did you read the whole series or just the first book?
Just the first book. I'm not quite that ambitious. But I finished the first book. I really enjoyed it. I have not seen the movie. I was waiting to finish the book until I saw the movie. I know that's can be unwise, but I wanted to do it that way. And I really enjoyed the book. If you haven't, if you're into sci-fi at all, and I would definitely go out and read Ender's Game. It is definitely worth it.
Cool. A side note that it's more than just sci-fi. It's more of a debate in there. So
yeah, I could see that. There's almost a debate for like child soldiers. Like I know that's a big. I almost want to say epidemic in Africa, but.
Well, not only that, but what's it when you genocide?
Yeah, that's another. Have you read Ender's Game, Paul?
No, I saw the movie.
I didn't realize there was a genocide factor.
Oh yeah, and it's mm-hmm. for people who have read the books and/or seen the movie. It really sparks some debates between people on their philosophies in life. Mm. So it'll be interesting to debate Francisco on some of the themes in there. Anyway,
15 years from now.
Oh, it's still relevant, I think.
No, I mean, if we're going to do it for the show.
Then it'll be on the Retro Reread Podcast.
.com.
Well, thank you both. And look for links to both the Well House, I believe it was. Yes.
And to Zelda.
And
sorry.
Oh, my gosh. And to the Well House and to...
Ski Safari,
and to the Bookender's Game in our show notes. Moving on, though, to our feedback. Alice, bring up the communication satellites, please.
ComSat online. Receiving incoming transmission.
Ow, that incoming transmission hurt.
As it should. We have... Wow. So broken up our feedback into a couple parts. First, we're going to talk about feedback from past episodes.
Sorry, I thought you were breaking up.
No. It's not hard to do.
It's not you, it's me.
First, from our Super Mario World episode, Chris McGinty... I hope I'm pronouncing that name wrong.
Leave it in.
I'm pronouncing that name right, Chris. But he's left several comments on our Facebook page. Thank you very much. He said, regarding Super Mario World, not sure if you ever knew this fact, but Mario hits Yoshi in the back of the head to make him eat stuff. Don't know how I feel about that.
That sounds vaguely familiar.
Yeah, I didn't know that, and I actually linked to a YouTube video that where I heard about that first. But yeah, it's kind of sad if you look at the sprite sheet. It's definitely Mario is hitting Yoshi square on the head to get him to do that. So thank you for that comment, Chris. Chris also commented on the Mary Poppins episode. He said, I vaguely remember an animatronic bird in this movie. I hope I didn't just incept that into my memory. You didn't quite, Chris, because they're on Mary Poppins' umbrella on the end of it.
Wrong one. Well, that's right too. That's a partially animatronic bird because it's just the bird head.
Yeah,
but when she's singing a spoonful of sugar, a spoonful of sugar, she brings in a bird from the window, and the bird sitting on her finger is animatronic.
Oh, I didn't remember that. Okay. What were you going to say, Sharon? I was just saying that the
umbrella bird does speak to Mary Poppins, what, at the beginning and the end, or is it just the end?
Just the end, I believe.
Just the end.
Yeah, so it's a partially animatronic bird, partially animatronic umbrella.
So that is our past episode feedback. Moving on. Last, I want to share feedback. We got another iTunes rating, which we always appreciate. This one comes from Moga, smiley face, and it's titled Good Stuff. He says, great show, guys. Totally family friendly. And like how and I like how you mix it up with both movies and games. For a retrohead and Christian like myself, this is one-stop shopping. So thank you so much, Moga. That is so nice to hear that. Paul, will you share with us what we're going to be doing next time on the Retro Rewind podcast?
All right, check this out. Next time, yeah, whenever that is, we'll be rewinding back to the year 1986, a year after Marty went back in time. Yeah, for the movie The Great Mouse Detective. Woo-hoo! But until then, no comma, we would love if you would share the show with your friends, comma, and if you want to support us even more, no comma, go to RetroRewindPodcast.com/support to find out how. I'm reading it, sorry. If you want a friend, follow, pin, or plus us, go to RetroRewindPodcast.com/social. But if all you want to do is send us some good old-fashioned written feedback or questions, head on over to RetroRewindPodcast.com/contact.
I also thank you so much, Paul, for sharing what we're going to do next time. I do want to say, though, that we are not going to have a regular episode in a couple weeks like we normally would, because just scheduling, we're not going to have time to record when we normally do. So you're going to
get The Great Mouse Detective.
You're still going to get The Great Mouse Detective, but it's going to be later on in February.
So great.
When you will hear about him. So please come back for that. In the meantime, go check out our bonus stage at RetroRewindPodcast.com/bonus stage, where you can hear bloopers from this episode and as well as past episodes and even our postulates. You don't know what those are? Go listen. It's kind of fun.
Kind of not.
Thank you, Paul. And I appreciate you as the co-host, as always. Thank you for being
on
the show.
And I appreciate you and your lack of drug references.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you. Did you have anything to promote this week? And how can people get in touch with you, Paul?
PaulJPowers.com. There's one-stop shop to reaching me.
Nice. Very good. Sharon, thank you so much for being on the show once again and coming on for your first time for a solo episode.
Thank you.
Except we were here. Well,
that's not why I meant Paul.
All right.
And besides the Well House, was there anything else you'd like to promote? And where can people get in touch with you on the interwebs?
If they desperately want to get in touch with me, feel free to hit up Francisco.
Yep. Just go to that contact page, and I'll pass on the message.
Yes. Just check out the Well House. Support it if you can. They could sure use some support.
So. Very good. Thanks. You so much. Yeah. And I want to thank... Oh, well, first I want to say, if you want to get in touch with me, you can find me on Twitter at FXRUIZX, or you can find me on Facebook. But probably the quickest way to get in touch with me is to that contact page on our website, RetroRewindPodcast.com/contact, because I check email most consistently. I'm old-fashioned that way. And I do want to promote again my services as a web and graphic designer. If you need a podcast cover art designed or you need a website design, just send me... that information, what you'd like to get done, and I can reach out to you and get in touch with you about how I can help with that. With that, thank you so much for listening to the Retro Rewind podcast. We really appreciate you listening to this while you're working out or doing homework or you're commuting to or from work. So cool that you're listening to us. And like a Pokemon, we'll catch you next time on the Retro Rewind podcast.
When the full moon is bright, comes a horseman known as
Retro Rewind. Mission complete. Proceed to that point, Omega, and return to base
with the slave. The Z that stands for Zora. Zoro. The fox who's cunning and free. Zoro. Who makes the sign of the Z? Zoro.
They They still should have had that overweight guy. He was fun. Oh, they could have had Chris Farley play him. That would have been awesome, but he wasn't Latino.